Parshas Chukas, and the story in this week's parsha that has caused, as they say, so much ink to be spilled, so much parchment to be used, is the story of Moshe hitting the rock. This will be the subject of our talk today. And we must know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe in the aftermath of this disobedience, you might say, of hitting instead of speaking to the rock, indicates that what Moshe did was extremely severe in God's eyes. Hashem dealt with this severely. He said, you did not have emuna. You didn't trust me to sanctify me. And we all know that, of course, because of this, Moshe did not lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. He led them for 40 years in the Midbar. It's almost like a parent that raises a child from infancy through all the trials and tribulations, and when they're finally, like getting married, and it's a wonderful shidduch, and they're going to start their home, they're not allowed to participate. They put in all the effort, but they never get to see the fruits of their labors. We mentioned last week in relation to Korach that working, lishma, l'shem shamayim, to do something for the sake of heaven, and just to work and to put in the effort and to sacrifice, as Moshe did. There's no one who sacrificed more than Moshe on a personal level, on every level. He, in the end, didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. He sacrificed his family life. He was in constant relationship, contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was constantly crying out on behalf of the Jewish people. And to work so hard and to sacrifice so much, and then not to be given the satisfaction of seeing the result of all your efforts, the successful end to all of the efforts, is extremely difficult to bear. And when Moshe said to Korach, remember last week when Korach was complaining that his real frustration was that he was a Levi, and the Levium did so much hard work. They came in after all the kelim were covered in the Mishkan, and they broke down the Mishkan, and they packed up everything, and then they transported everything, and they schlepped everything, and then they set up everything. And then as soon as they finished setting up, they were banished from the Mishkan. They were not allowed in. And so they did all the work, but they never had like the Kohanim, the Big Day Kahuna, the Kavod, the glory. And this was difficult for Korach. He was working only Lishma, him and his Shevet. And Moshe said to him, Rav Lachem, isn't it enough for you that at least you have this privilege? And those words we said came back to haunt Moshe Rabbeinu. My grandfather of Schwab points out that it's not so easy to work only Lishma and not see the gratification, not have the gratification of seeing the fruits of your labors. And this is what Moshe now, because of this sin, had to bear also, not to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says to him, Rav Lacha, isn't it enough that you led them in the Midbar? You also want to come into Eretz Yisrael? Our question really is, though, what is the link between hitting the rock and not entering Eretz Yisrael? That is a big question. What's the midah keneged midah? What is the association between the sin and the punishment? And if this sin was so monumental, our question is why? In the previous years of the Midbar, Moshe had been told to hit the rock. All of a sudden, hitting the rock was the worst thing he could have possibly done. He was only meant to speak to the rock. So our question is, what was so bad about it? What happened here? And why did Moshe do this? Why did Moshe do this? And before we begin, we will immediately disregard, okay, the ideas that try to portray Moshe as a leader who was burned out and who had a temper and who was, couldn't take it anymore. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. It is true he was provoked here. It was true that he was provoked, no question about it. But it doesn't say, as it says about Dathan and Aviram, that Moshe was angry, Vayichar Moshe, that Moshe was angry. It never says this. When they come complaining for water here, Moshe falls on his face, which is generally the position he takes when he's praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael, like in the Cheder Egel, okay? And in other situations. But when Moshe gets angry and he says, don't accept their mincha, that was different. He took that as a personal affront. Here, Moshe falls on his face. Again, he's in the position of trying to protect Bnei Yisrael from the danger that's imminent, because now, who knows? We know what happens when Bnei Yisrael start complaining, why did you take us out of Egypt? We know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael severely, how many times in the Midbar there were magefos, plagues, and destructions. In fact, the last parsha ends with the death of 14,700 people. Why? Because they said to Moshe, you shouldn't have asked them to offer the Ketores, you killed them. You knew this would kill them. Why did you set them up like this? And then they started complaining, and Hashem sent a fire, and 14,700 died. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no qualms eliminating those in the nation that he feels are not up to the expectations that the being the Jewish people demands. Okay? That's obvious. You'll notice, both by the Egel and by the Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eliminated the people when they were not up to the Madrega of accepting the pristine truth of monotheism. He didn't water down the Torah. He didn't make the rules easier. He eliminated the people who couldn't reach those goals. When the people couldn't go and felt paralyzed with fear to enter Eretz Yisrael, he didn't make the rules about how you conquered Eretz Yisrael easier. He didn't change the nature of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't make it a more user-friendly place. It's still Niknes B'Yisurim. He just let those people die until the next door, who could raise themselves up, would come and try again. The Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Hashem's standards stay perfect, pristine, untouchable. It's the people that come and go. And so here Moshe sees that they're again complaining, and he falls on his face. So there's something here. Moshe b'kavana hits the rock. It's a thought-out, premeditated decision to disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our question is why? In order to begin to understand, not the second half, which is why Moshe did this, but what was so terrible about the fact that he hid it and he didn't speak to it, we have to start to analyze Nisim in general. For a moment, we'll get off this particular topic and start thinking about Nisim. Now, Nisim come in all colors and shapes and sizes. If I asked everyone in this room, how many of you people feel you had a Nis occur to you or your family, most people would raise their hands. And not just here, in a secular audience, in any non-Jewish audience, people, those are confirmed. Atheists won't call it a miracle, obviously, but those who are, other than those that are staunchly refusing to admit that there might be something supernatural in the world, many people would say there's a nes. So when we say, for example, in Modim, the Modim Brach of Shmon Esrei, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, your miracles that are with us each day, what do we have in mind? I would suggest, you're probably thinking now, when we say your miracles that are with us every day, we have in mind childbirth, the fact that we wake up healthy, the fact that danger was averted, all sometimes unbeknownst to us, like my own great-grandfather who missed that Hindenburg that blew up. And these are the Nisim that are with us every day. So if we had to categorize such Nisim, we would say they're hidden Nisim. The question is, what is the point of those Nisim? What purpose do they serve? Let's try to divide this up into categories. Are they Nisim that are designed for the non-believer to prove to them that there is a God? Are these Nisim that we say are surrounding us every day, is that their purpose? Or is their purpose that those who already trust in Hashem will know that Hashem is monitoring and governing and taking care of them and watching them and causing them to, protecting them, as we say, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches those fools who don't even know what's around the corner. God is protecting them. You know, more luck than brains. Hashem is protecting us. Most people would answer that miracles that we call a hidden miracle, an esnister, the miracles that surround us on a daily basis, are not there to prove that God exists. They're not there to establish emuna in God's hashgacha pratis, or that God knows what's happening, or that God can change teva. They're not so much to teach us. They're really an expression of God's love for us, and therefore, most people would say that nisim and take place to those that already have emuna in Hashem and already trust in hashgacha pratis, And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that person who's already kind of pulled the mask off of nature and said, I know it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind this mask. At a masquerade party, you pull off the mask, that's who you are. So for that person, Hashem doesn't wear such a mask. He doesn't need to wear the mask. The person already knows the secret. So Charanya ben Dosa says that the oil should, the vinegar should burn because I don't have oil. He was a great tzaddik. So he already knew that it's Hashem who makes vinegar burn and Hashem who makes oil burn. So what's the point? Make the vinegar burn. He figured it out. And the vinegar burned. So these nisim, we would say, are number one, there as an expression of Lashkacha Pratis, the love of Hashem for the person. They address a need of the person at that moment, but they are not there to prove that God exists, and they're not there to teach the world anything, and they're very private, and sometimes nobody knows but the person it happens to. And the person does, having a nes happen to a person does not compel them to become a Navi and teach the world about the nes that happened to them. They have no instructions to go out and repeat this nes to anyone. In fact, the greater the person, the less they would ever talk about these type of things that happened to them. Because it's a form of arrogance that they deserve this degree of Hashgacha Pratis. So they, in their own mind, would say it's a matnas chinam, it's a free gift. I don't know why I deserve this. I have to have hakaras hatov. I have to thank Hashem. But they wouldn't go publicizing it. That's a certain type of nes that we work with. And what's most important in these nisim is the end result. The end result is I missed the bus, and the bus there was an accident. That's the most important thing. And then for that person, they feel a thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, maybe their children, their grandchildren. That is our nisim, and to a certain degree, that's even the nisim of the Avos, of all the nisim up to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Avraham was not burned in the Kivshan Ha'esh, that was a miracle for Avraham to save him because he didn't deserve to be born, to be burned. It was not to prove that God exists. Avraham already knew it. That's why he was saved. It was not for all the population of the people of that area to come and witness so that now they'll know that there's Hashem. That's not how it was played out. It was a private thing. In fact, you'll notice that there are no nisim, open nisim, applying to our Avos Nari Mahos in the Torah. It's in the Midrash. If Hashem smites the palace of Paro because they took Sarah with the disease, and he tells Paro, you took a married woman and you're going to get punished, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something to the house of Paro, but that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting. There is no Navi in all of Bereishis, up until Moshe Rabbeinu, that is told by God to do miracles to prove that Hashem exists. Correct? So any miracles that take place in Bereishis, up until Moshe Rabbeinu, and the whole beginning of history, are for the person's benefit, because they already trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the general rule. Okay? Now, what happens with Moshe? Everything changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, and it's the first time in history that Hashem tells a person, go tell the Jewish people that I have said that I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Never in history has anyone came with the message that God told me to tell you. Never. So Moshe rightfully says, Hem lo yaminu bi. They're not going to believe me because it never happened. No one ever, this doesn't exist in the world that somebody speaks on behalf of God. So now Hashem says, take your staff, and he gives them three miracles. Remember, your hand will turn to tsaras, the water will turn to blood, and your staff will turn into a snake. This is a different type of nace now coming into play. This is a nace for those who don't trust Moshe through the nace to come to trust Moshe, to prove that he is a messenger of God. It's a different type of nace completely, and the nisim that he does to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, unlike the makos and the nisim in the midbar, which we will get to, the nisim he does for the Zakenim, for the Jews in Israel, is to prove that Hashem has sent him. Now, we've spoken about this, and it's very critical to mention this. Rambam explains the pasuk, okay? Who am I? Mi ani ki elech al paro ki otzi es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Who am I to go to paro? Mi anochi, he says. Mi anochi. And Hashem says, Zelecha Ha'os, this is the sign that I've sent you. When you come, when you bring the Jewish people out of Egypt, you'll serve Hashem on this mountain, the same mountain as the burning bush. This, you'll come back here, this will be Har Sinai. There are many ways to explain the Pasuk. We explained in depth a while ago the Rambam, who says that Moshe understood that even if he does a few miracles to prove that he's a shaliach of Hashem, this in no way proves that he is a Navi legitimized to teach them and Torah and give them rules and tell them how to live. He could be a tzaddik, and he can be worthy of doing nisim, as in the tzaddik gozer v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim. A tzaddik request of God something, Hashem fulfills his request. By the way, that's similar to some degree, our nisim, or we say Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, he does the will of those who fear him, helps them, protects them. So the fact that Moshe can ask Hashem at this moment to do a nes in front of the Jewish people proves that he's on Hashem's good side, he's a tzaddik, and Hashem will do what he wants, but it doesn't compel anyone to accept one rule from Moshe Rabbeinu as speaking in the name of God. Okay, this we had to wait for a much greater experience to prove that. So Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to do these nisim as a stopgap temporary measure just to get them to trust in you enough that you're God's messenger to follow you out of Egypt and come to Har Sinai, and there at Har Sinai they will then all become Nevi'im, and they in their state of Nevuah will hear you receive Nevuah directly from Hashem, and that's why they're going to trust you, because they experience that you receive Nevuah. And then they're going to accept you as a Navi. And all the nisim prior to that do not prove or legitimize you as Navi. They prove you're a tzaddik. End. Even when we say, V'yaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe abdo an v'yam, the Sefer Ikrim explains like the Rambam, they trusted Moshe, V'yaminu b'Hashem, they trusted Hashem, u'Moshe abdo, and Moshe was his servant, doesn't mean they were ready to accept one mitzvah from Moshe. Just that he was the servant of Hashem and he was a tzaddik and it was good enough to get them out of Egypt. And they would trust him on that level. But it wasn't until Har Sinai and they heard Moshe receive Nevuah that they were makabel, that he's a Navi and his words are the words of God. And therefore they must listen to his words and accept his rules as Hashem's rules. That was, therefore, by the way, we have no leap of faith that there is a God. We experience that at Har Sinai. We don't even have a leap of faith in Moshe. Hashem eliminated the leap of faith by having us experience Moshe's Nevuah. Okay, that's the famous pasuk, which you've all heard. Gam b'chaya minu b'avur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach. They will hear me speak to you. V'gam b'chaya minu la'olam. They'll trust you forever. Okay. So now we have a new level of nisim that are the nisim Moshe did in the Midbar and the Makos in Mitzrayim. Now, they were not to get the Jews to follow Moshe. Those nisim that Moshe did in Mitzrayim and later in the Midbar are clearly stated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all over in Parshas Bo, in Shemos. Hashem says, Laman Teda, they are for, they serve a purpose, Laman Teda, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, they should know that I am God in the land. Or, for example, there's another example here, Laman Teda, Ki La Hashem Ha'aretz. So they should know that the world belongs to Hashem. So Moshe made it clear, Hashem made it clear through Moshe, that the nisim that Moshe would do in front of the Egyptians, and as we say, and what distinguishes Moshe's nisim from the nisim of every other Navi after Moshe, is le'enei kol yisrael. They were done publicly in front of all the Jews and Paro and the enemies and Paro, all the people that didn't believe. Moshe's nisim were unique in the sheer constancy of the fact they were always in front of everybody. Very few Nevi'im after Moshe did nisim that everybody saw. There's a few exceptions like Shemesh b'Givon Dom when Yeshua said, let the sun stand still in Givon. Uniqueness of Moshe's nisim are that they were constantly le'enei kol Yisrael. Everybody saw them. They were not there like our nisim. They were in a completely different level than our nisim. They were not there because only they served the purpose, like they had no food, so there needed to be man. They had no water, so they brought water from a rock. Yes, of course, that was part of it. But the main purpose of the nes was to know that there was Hashem. Therefore, these nisim were there not just to solve a problem, okay? They were there to teach, to convey a new idea, the Kriyas Yamsuf. All of the nisim in the Midbar are not just utilitarian nisim that solve a problem like our nisim, okay? What we consider nisim, Ashgacha Pratis. They were there to teach a number of basic premises. The Ramban states in the last Ramban in Perek, in a Parshas Bo, Ramban says they're there to teach four basic things. Chidush HaOlam, that the world was created by God, wasn't always there, because if he can change Teva, it means he made Teva, nature. Number two, Yediyas HaBorei, that the Creator knows what's going on. Not only does the Creator know what's going on, number four, Hashgacha, so he's involved. He will interfere in nature, in history, make things happen. And Nevuah, that he will communicate with his people. The Nisim in the Midbar became ways to prove, to establish basic truths, basic emuna. The way that we know that Moshe's Nisim established Emes, made Emes known to the world, established Torah, is because they are commemorated forever as mitzvos. We have endless mitzvos that are Zecher, Liatzias, Mitzrayim. The fact that the mitzvah commemorates the nes means that the nes is not just a problem solver, momentary solution to a problem. The nes is Torah itself. The nes that Moshe did establishes Torah, the essence of Torah, that there's a creator, that he knows, that he's Mashkiach, and that he speaks and is involved with creation. Therefore, they translate into Torah themselves, they become nisim, they become mitzvos. And we say we celebrate Pesach because of the nisim. We celebrate Sukkot because of the nisim. Every Shabbat, Zecher, Liatzias, Mitzrayim, they are Torah. So we're getting into the next level now. It is not only that Moshe's nevuah is Torah, becomes Torah. Every word that Moshe said becomes Torah, because he's a direct conduit from Hashem. But every one of Moshe's nisim are Torah, which means Moshe's nisim and Moshe's nevuah are the same thing. Understanding this sets the stage for knowing what happened at the rock here by Mei Meriva. Again, Moshe's nisim are on the same madrega as Moshe's nevuah. When Moshe teaches something about Hashem, and Moshe causes a nes to take place which teaches the same thing about Hashem, it's two different ways of expressing Torah. The nisim were not only to solve problems, they were teaching Torah as his nevuah was. Now, the only difference is when Moshe spoke and when Moshe did nisim, there was a difference. The way the Jewish people experienced Moshe's speech versus Moshe's nisim was different. For the Jewish people in their infancy, which is where we are now, the birth of the nation is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the 40 years of the desert are their youth. Moshe is speaking, but sometimes speech for a young child is not enough to persuade them and compel them to act properly. With children, we need demonstrations, and we need force, and we need sometimes fear. And you need to bribe, and you need to use physical things and demonstrations of your power to get them to comply. Therefore, when Moshe spoke in the early days and taught them, this had a significant impact, but it wasn't enough. Moshe did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him, to do nisim, which would shock them, and it would not only shock them for the moment, it would shock them forever, which is why we commemorate these shocking experiences through mitzvahs all through the generations. And the memory of that shock of being shown the power of Hashem would then persuade us to do the mitzvahs. That's how you deal with a child in their youth. But there comes a time where maturity begins to develop. And you no longer want to force a person through demonstrations of power. You want a person to be persuaded by an argument, by words that represent the truth, that are fundamentally true, words that represent the Ritzon Hashem, The words should have the power that the force used to have, that the mate, the rod, the stick used to have. At a certain point, the word should bring up in a person the desire to do the will of Hashem without being compelled. We are standing here at the brink of entering into Eretz Yisrael. This is the new generation. This is the people that survived the 40 years. 38 years have passed since last Parsha. Peaceful years. We haven't heard a thing. 38 years of serving Hashem properly in the Midbar, traveling round and round year. No complaints. Nothing. Quiet. It's the 40th year. Okay, we are at the brink of entering Eretz Yisrael. There is a transition taking place, and Moshe was meant to be part of it. The transition, he was the essence of it. The era of the Mate was coming to an end. The open miracles, the demonstrations. The era of the Navi, of Dibur, of the speech, was beginning. The Jewish people would go into Eretz Yisrael, and we knew that the open miracles that they experienced in the Midbar would come to an end. They started ending. The Ananiah, when Miriam died, the well would dry up. When Aaron would die, the Ananiah HaKavod would go away. And then when Moshe would die, the Zchus the Man. All these miracles were eventually beginning to disappear. They would enter into Eretz Yisrael and have to live a lifestyle that was more according to nature. And they would be guided by Nevi'im. What would Nevi'im do? Essentially, talk to them, explain to them, persuade them. In fact, the entire Sefer Devarim, which is following on the heels of these stories now, is Moshe's words, and those words were supposed to fortify them forever and ever and ever, because there would no longer be the great miracles. We are transitioning from the era of the staff to the era of the spoken word, to the Navi. A person is called a Navi because Niv Sefasayim, the phrases, the words that come from his mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now if we look into the Parsha carefully, has Klal Yisrael, they're arguing against Moshe, they need water, the well dried up. And Hashem says to Moshe, something confusing, and through understanding what Hashem's telling him, we're going to understand this last nes that was supposed to take place. And the power of this nes, more than any other nisim before them. Hashem says to Moshe, Kach es hamata, we're in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Ches, 28. Take the mate, gather the Eda, you and Aaron, your brother, udibartem el hasela, and speak to the rock, le'enehem, as all of Moshe's nisim, before all of their eyes, V'nasan me'mav, and it will give its water. Skip a little. V'yikach Moshe es ha'mata milifnei Hashem kasher tzivahu. Moshe took the mata that was before Hashem as he was commanded. Stop here. Which mata was Moshe commanded to take? The mata that was lifnei Hashem. That's not Moshe's mata. That's the mata of last week's parsha, that was sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that belonged to Aaron, that proved that Aaron was chosen and Shevet Levi was chosen. And Hashem had told Moshe in the last week's Parsha, this matzah will remain in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as oat, as a sign, libnei meri, to rebellious people. Whenever the Jewish people will start some type of rebellion against Moshe, bring out the matzah, and they'll remember that everything Moshe said is MS. As Moshe said, I haven't done anything. It's all from Hashem. That was the whole point of last week's parsha. They'll remember that Moshe is Shaliach of Hashem, and they'll immediately desist instantly from their machlokas. They'll realize that everything that's happening to them is because of Hashem, and there's no complaints against Moshe. Take that mata that's been sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is called a mata, which is Ot, a simen, Os, Libnei, Mary, to rebellious children. People that are in a state of rebellion. Gather them and speak to the rock. Hold the mate so they will desist. The rebellion will come to an instant end. They'll come to their senses. And then speak to the rock and let it give its water. Moshe went ahead and took the mate milifnei Hashem. That's not his mate, that's the proof. Took it from before God. As he was commanded, and this is the only part he did as he was commanded. The rest was not what he was commanded. Now, what is Hashem setting Moshe up for here? We said that Moshe's Nisim are there to create Torah, to create truth, to change things in the functioning of the world. Before Moshe did the Eser Makos, there was no understanding in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected things from people. Except there were the six mitzvos and then later the seven mitzvos of B'nai Noah. But as Rav Hunter explains, and we've spoken about, Hashem kept the world going 26 generations until Matan Torah, this door, in a state of chesed, which is called chesed vitor, just open-ended chesed with no demands. Hashem never made a Har Sinai. It was 2,500 years of creation, and God never convened any great meeting of the people of the world to tell them what he wanted from them. He just gave and gave and gave, which is why we say Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lom Chazo 26 times for the 26 generations of endless open chesed. That 10 Ma'amaros of Bereshis, where he brought the world into being and asked very little from the population, waiting for someone to arise who would finally realize why we're here for and lead, create a nation and lead that nation to serve Hashem voluntarily and willingly, not by compulsion. Moshe offered Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, would you be a Goy Kadosh from Leches Konim? It was an offer. Hashem didn't compel humanity. Until the 10 Makos. The 10 Makos began to teach the world something new. You know what now? If you don't do what Hashem says, you're going to suffer. So the Nisim didn't just cause the Egyptians a punishment. They changed the absolute rules that govern the world. They changed the rules. The rules are, if you don't do what Hashem demands, you get nothing, or worse. And then with the Aseres HaDibros, that was taken to even the next stage. There's a bris, a relationship. So as we said, the Nisim of Moshe changed the rules. Once Moshe establishes that there's a creator, and he's watching, and he knows, and he's involved, and he makes demands, and he cares, and you have to live up to his expectation, the rules have changed. Moshe's Nisim solve a problem, teach truth, and change the rules. What rules were about to change now? When Hashem said to Moshe, speak to the rock, Moshe was going to change the order of Teva, of the whole creation once again. Bring something new into the world that never existed in the minds and the hearts of the people. He was going now to change nature, to change Teva as he changed things with the other Nisim. By speaking to the rock and holding the stick, which would cause the machlokas to subside, and speaking to the rock, Moshe was now going to elevate the Jewish people and through them eventually the world to a new madrega that they had not yet achieved. If the rock itself would respond to Moshe's words, which means that now the nace would not take place with a mate, there used to be a little bit of a disconnect. There was Moshe's nisim and Moshe's nevuah. Moshe would speak and tell the people what to do. And in addition, he would take his mata and do a nes. Now the nevuah of Moshe and the nisim of Moshe were one. He would speak and the nes would take place. There would be absolutely no disconnect between his words and the teva that would instantly change. His nevuah would arise to a higher level. The people would realize that the nevuah of Moshe is as powerful, the words of Moshe is as powerful as those astonishing acts of demonstration of God's power. What would that change in people? Well, like a child is shocked and not just astonished, but paralyzed by the fear of seeing the power being demonstrated of what theoretically the punishment could be. Now that very same reaction would take place in the neshama of a person from words, from the argument, from the words themselves. They would have the same power as the nisim. When Moshe would speak and the nes would take place, his words would rise to the level now in the hearts, in the souls of the people. It's them rising up now to a new madriga. That just the words of Moshe would be like the splitting of the sea for them. That would be as shocking, as effective, as transformative as sea splitting, just Moshe telling them what to do. What Hashem wants from them? Words we're used to. What does Hashem want from you? He wants you to choose b'chartem b'chayim, choose life, choose... The words of Moshe would be as effective as the splitting of the sea. When Moshe was going to speak to the rock and it would give its water, then the koach in nature would change so that forever after the people would hear the words of Moshe and it would have a transformative effect, like as we said, like the greatest of Nisim. This would elevate the people to a whole new Madrega. Notice how we behave. We can hear words for our whole lives. We can hear inspiring words and words that shock us and words that are true. And you know what? Many people can hear those words and just we sidestep them. We don't really transform anything because of them, or very little. But if there'd be a big miracle that would scare the daylights out of us, then maybe we do something. That's childish. That's not mature. Maturity is getting beyond being scared into things and getting to the point of following based on the power of the words. Now, Moshe had in his hands the ability to elevate Klal Yisrael to a point where the words themselves of Moshe and future Nevi'im would be enough to transform them, to bring them into obedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love of Hashem forever. A huge madriga, a whole new change. This is what they would need to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why now, understanding this, did Moshe not obey? Why did he now lose the opportunity to elevate Klal Yisrael to this next great madriga? So Moshe understood that there were great risks involved. And the ideas we hear here now come from my grandfather, Rav Schwab, what you've just heard about the difference between a nes that's more like Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, that he does the will of those who believe in him, but they're not there to teach or transform Teva. Those two distinctions, those two nesim, are from the Maharal, explained to Rav, by Rav Huttner. I just want to make actually one more point. He says that a nes that's there just to solve a problem is a temporary nes that gives you a shock for a moment, and as the nace goes away and the change in nature goes away, and eventually the impression of it too goes away. So something happens, you have an impression, that's not necessarily forever. But a nace, the Moshe's nisim, which changed Teva completely, brought new understanding to the world, commemorated through mitzvahs, changed how the world functions, and the rules the world functions by are not temporary nisim. Those nisim are absolute nisim. They change the nature, as we said, of the whole world, of the functioning of the world, and therefore the impression of them is forever. Why would Moshe forgo this opportunity? That's now the question. To bring up, as Rav Huttner explains, the world and Maral, the Klal Yisrael to Madrega, where the words themselves would have the same impact as the Makos, as the Osos Umofsim. What was at stake? What was the risk? Well, we know that even in the era of the Osos Umofsim, the great miracles, even though the people saw awesome miracles, was that enough for them, for many of them, to obey Hashem completely? No. The demands of Hashem were very high, and even with great miracles and demonstrations of God's power, there were people that still could not defer to Hashem's will completely. They still found their way out. Now, to us, that's shocking. We say, oh, we saw miracles, we would just fall into line. Obviously, that's not the case. So when now you push the front lines even further, you say, now we're going into the era of the Dibur, how many people are going to be able to respond to the Dibur and change themselves? If even in the era of the Mateh, people couldn't necessarily, in a complete way, you know, even this wasn't effective enough for everybody to fall into line, which means that if in the era of the Mateh, many people died and fell by the wayside, how many times have thousands of people died because they just couldn't get to the Madrega Hashem demanded them? So now, what are the dangers of being on even a higher Madrega? How many people are going to live up to this? How many people are going to be able to aspire and reach this type of expectation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, the question is the child really ready to be dealt with strictly with, you know, the persuasion of the argument? Maybe they still need a little threats and a little shows and a little... Maybe the era of the Mateh is not over. More than that. Moshe understood that that's exactly what was at stake, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to tolerate all of these people rebelling again. He was going to do to them exactly what he did many times before. They weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael. He was going to eliminate them. And only the highest ones, the survival of the fittest, only the most developed ones would go in. And now, being that what they were expected to achieve is already in that mature state, how many would die? Moshe was afraid. How many now are going to die? How do we know that Hashem was setting Moshe up to start another selection between the tzaddikim and the rishayim and let who knows how many perish? Because Hashem says to Moshe the following words, and this is from my grandfather, Schwab, Kacha, Samata, etc. V'dibartem el hasela, you will speak to the rock, le'enehem, which is all of Moshe's nisim, are le'enehem, that makes them special. That's what makes Moshe's nisim very unique. V'nasan me'imav, and it will give its water. And now Hashem adds another little statement that seems completely unnecessary. What's the point of this? V'hotzeisa lehem mayim min hasela, and you will bring out for them water from the rock. It just said v'nasan meimav, it's going to give its water. And then he adds v'hishkisa es ha'eda, you will cause the eda to drink. You will feed them, so to speak. You'll water them. V'hishkisa es ha'eda, and their flocks, separating the eda from their flocks. When Moshe heard this, Votseisa lahem maya min hasela, you will bring out water from this rock and cause them to drink. Moshe, this is when Moshe decided he will not do according to the command of Hashem now. He's not doing this. The only two times in Torah that we have come in contact with this command of cause someone to drink is a couple of parshios again ago. Where does someone cause someone to drink? Sota. And what happens if they're guilty? She dies in a terrible way. Where else was Moshe once before commanded to cause them to drink? By the Egil. And what happened when he caused them to drink? Those that were guilty, their stomachs expanded, whatever, and the Leviim went around and killed them. So when Hashem says to Moshe, speak to the rock, and it will give its water. But that's not the thing. That's the nace. That's elevating nature, elevating all of Teva to a madrega where if a rock can respond to the persuasion of words, or let's say it in a more sophisticated way, if Moshe's nisim and his nevuah become one, his words and the nisim that are the result of his words are obviously one. And therefore the words of Moshe have such an impact. If that's where we're heading, and under those rules, you give them to drink to see who's worthy and who's not worthy to go into Eretz Yisrael under these conditions, Moshe was afraid that, who knows, half the people wouldn't make it. And who knows what will happen. Remember what happened in last week's parsha after the 250 died, which we hope would end the problem and prove that Moshe was sending Hashem. The people said, you killed all these people, and they started another rebellion, and another 14,700 died. So one thing leads to the next. Maybe another 100 years in the desert is around the corner. Who knows what this ball, once it starts rolling, what will happen? These were the risks. My grandfather points out that Moshe was Moser Nefesh, and he decided he will not do according to the tzivoy of Hashem. And he will not cause anyone to drink, and there won't be a selection, and there won't be an ability to determine between who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha, and this whole dar will go into Eretz Yisrael as they are, and if they're not ready for the dibur, so then the Nevi'im in Eretz Yisrael will still do their simonim, their miracles to prove things, and you know what? The Jewish people will be on a lower level, and because of that, they probably, this is my understanding, I didn't see this, that's why we never were able to hold on to the first Beis HaMikdash. That's why we didn't obey the Nevi'im. That's why we lost the first Beis HaMikdash. That's why we lost the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why we're here. But nevertheless, Moshe was decided for the sake of the people that they're all going into Eretz Yisrael. He will not participate in this. So if you look in the Pesukim, it says, the Pesukim say, that Moshe came in front of the people and he said to them, Shimuna Hamorim, Now, some people translate this as temper. He had a temper. Listen, you rebellious people. Moshe was holding the Os Libnei Meri in his hand. Remember? He said, Shimu na hamorim. Look at this. This is supposed to teach you not to make a machlokas, that whatever is going on here is al pi Hashem. If the be'er dried up, it's not because I'm trying to hurt you people, and why did we ever come out of Mitzrayim and everything. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the be'er to reopen under new conditions. The be'er of Miriam will reopen under new conditions, under the conditions of Dibor. So first he says, Shimu na hamorim. Look, you're being rebellious. Pasuk Yud. But then he says this very strange statement, which only is understandable based on what we're saying here. He says, Hamin, Hasela, Hazen, Notzi, Lachem, Maya, me and Aaron, are we going to cause the water to come out from this rock so that we can give you to drink and there could be a selection? No, we're not going to do this. We are not going to bring out water from this rock. We are not going to bring out water. He says, instead, he picks up his mate, he hits the rock, b'mateu pa'mayim, two times with the mate, and look at the words, v'yetsu mayim rabim, tremendous amount of water came out, but look at the next word, v'teshtei, then they all drank, and their flocks. My grandfather, Rav Schwab, says, in the beginning he said, give them water, hishkisa sa'eda, and their flocks, making a distinction. Them you should cause to drink, the flocks will drink naturally. Here, there's no distinction. And them and their flocks, everybody drank naturally. Now, if the purpose of Moshe's Nisim was just the end result, that there should be water, and that the people should realize that Hashem controls Teva, there is no difference between speaking and hitting the rock. Correct? Is that clear? Everybody sees that? Just to know that Hashem can change nature and that we need water, the hitting, the speaking is all the same. What was at stake here was not that. What was at stake here was bringing up Klal Yisrael to a level where they will be transformed and persuaded by words, as the rock was, as the Nisim and the Nevuah of Moshe melded into one. But Moshe felt the risk here was huge and the people wouldn't make it. And Hashem would just wait for the next generation, as was the way of Hashem. He would never water down his standards. He would just wait for the people who could achieve them. So Moshe said, we will not cause the water to come out. We will not elevate Klal Yisrael now to this opportunity. The demands now, which are greater to be drawn after words, this opportunity was missed. All of the rules of nature did not change. What we're saying is, it was not now in the neshama, in the ability of the people to have the same experience and feel the same effect of the words as they felt by the force, the power, the nisim. There would still be a distinction. They were not ready. They were still needed the mate. They still needed to be compelled, to be shown, to be forced. They weren't already now on the madrigo where the words themselves would be enough. Why did Moshe do this? Moshe did this so that the nation should enter Eretz Yisrael finally. And now we understand the punishment. Moshe simply traded places with Klal Yisrael. He was Nifter, he died in the Midbar, and Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. This was his motivation for not causing them to drink, not causing another selection, and at the same time, yes, we did forego a great madrega. We lost the opportunity for our neshamas to be persuaded just by words, for the words of a Navi to have huge impact. We were not elevated to that level. Therefore, the Nevi'im spoke and cried and begged and pleaded, and you know what happened? They didn't listen, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But to prove that what Moshe did was Mesiras Nefesh on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem saw what Moshe did as a huge zechus, as the epitome, the highest example of love of a leader for his nation, in Slichos, where we're asking Hashem for tshuva on Hoshana Rabbah, the end ends, the final day of the decision, at the end of Sukkot, you know what we say? Leman Neman Beis Bayis, and this for the sake of the one who is trustworthy in your house, you know, that's Moshe, because Hashem said, Bechol Beisi Neman Hu. Maspik La'amayim, the one who gave water to the people. Selahach, he hit the rock. In other words, on his in his zuchus, because he hit the rock. We're talking, please give us tshuva, repair, give us kapara in the zuchus of Moshe because he hit the rock. We're using this as a merit. Ve'azovu mayim v'oshienu kel me'uzenu, and Hashem saved us. In other words, we're asking Hashem to save us again. In the merit of Moshe who hit the rock. That's how we say it in Slichus. So we understand that Moshe is hitting the rock. And by the way, also, in my grandfather brings another proof of this, another example. When we want to bring in front of Hashem the Zechus of Moshe and Aaron, we say in Tfilas Geshem, that Hashem should give us water. Zechar Masoi Betevas Gama, the one who was in that little ark, it's Moshe of tar, that little box his mother made for him. And then it goes on and then it says, Al Hasela Hachi, hit the rock, Vayetsu Mayim, and water came out. So for the greatest merits, when we ask Hashem to have compassion on us, to give us things, we ask in the Zechus of Moshe who hit the rock and how he cared so much for Klal Yisrael. Though we were not at a moment where we deserved it, Hashem should also have compassion on us. And I'll just end with this thought that somebody said after I once taught this. Somebody heard this. I was discussing this with someone who knew my grandfather. And they said a beautiful thought, which always stays with me. They said, only a Rav who gave his soul for his congregation, was Moser Nefesh for his Kehillah, could have thought of that type of chiddush in this pasuk, to see what Moshe did as an act of huge mesiras nefesh, and as the pure love and dedication to his people, and a desire, an absolute desire, at his own peril, to bring this nation finally into Eretz Yisrael. However, as we said, we lost an opportunity. Now it is what. There is one more point we must make. I'm sorry. In the continuum of development, it doesn't end here. It's not only the first era, which is the era of the matzah, the force, the demonstration, the childish era. Eventually leading into the era of the dibur, being compelled by words, by arguments, all of our thousands of years of Golus, where we no longer have open miracles, have been an opportunity, a challenge for the people to conform to the words and the ideas in the Torah, in our Sfarim. These are words. We are in now the era of Dibur, where the only people who are going to really stay true to Torah today are people that will hear the words, read the words, and the words will transform them. There's no open miracles anymore. So anyone who's from today is from because of the Dibur, because of the words of the Nevi'im in the Sfarim that reverberate through the generations. But there is another Madrega beyond this. There's another Madrega, the highest Madrega of all. The last of the Nevi'im who is associated with the Nes is Esther. Now we're not in Purim time, but we have to just go back to something we taught in the time of Purim. The Chazal say that Esther is the end of Nisim, like the dawn is the end of the night. Strange analogy, because the dawn is a good thing. It's ending the night. But Esther is the end of Nisim. That's a bad thing, no? That there's no more Nisim? Obviously, Chazal is saying that when the era of the Nisim come to an end, the Nisim, even the Nes Nister of Esther and Haman and Mordechai, that represents the dawn. What happened in the Purim story is even beyond the Madrega of following Hashem based on words, based on arguments, based on emes, based on the words of Nevi'im and the Torah we read and everything we hear and our ancestors who teach us. There's even another Madrega to come to conform, to come to have a union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see ourselves as an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Madrega of Purim. I hope this triggers some memories in some heads. We did speak about this Purim. Purim is not a story of open miracles. It's not the matzah. It's not even a story of words. There's no Navi who gets up in the Purim story and tells the people that what Hashem wants. The way the Purim Nes took place was by those that tried to disobey Hashem, simply learn, not through words, not through arguments, they simply learn by personal experience that no matter what they do, there is no way to go against the will of Hashem. It will always come crashing down around them to destroy them. This is the story of Haman. He builds the gallows, he hangs on them. He says, what should we do to someone the king wants to honor? Put him on a horse. So he put Mordechai on a horse. Everyone, he's the one who put Esther into the chair of Vashti. Every plan he made came back to destroy him. At a certain point, if a person tries to go against the will of God or tries to represent their own agenda in this world, and constantly that will come back to destroy them, eventually they give up. The time in Purim is a glimpse at Acharis Hayamim. Beyond the era of Dibur, that's our era, where we try to convince others, outreach, or Lagoyim, words, the way we conduct ourselves, which is based on the words of the Torah and the words of the Nevi'im, that the words should change us, the words should transform us, the words should change the world, the words should have enough force to bring people to their senses. There's even the next Madrega, where just personal experience will teach that you can't go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things will fall into place. This is the era of Acharis Hayamim. We won't have to make arguments anymore to prove why we have a legitimate right to exist. That's not how the Jews won the Purim story. That's our predicament. Trying to argue to the world why the Jews legitimately should exist and why they legitimately should have a country that's 3 inches wide. That was not how the Purim story was won. They didn't prove that they shouldn't all be decimated. We're still in the era of the words, of the arguments, arguments for ourselves to compel us to serve Hashem, and arguments for the Goyim that our way is emes. But beyond that, there comes a time where it just plays itself out. Tzadik v'tovlo, rasha v'ralo, and eventually you give in because you've experienced on your own that there's no other way. This is the era of Achris Hayamim. That still, until we get to that stage, we are in the era of Dibur. We have no choice. We have to let the words of the Torah and the words that we learn and the words that we read in the Nevi'im and all through the generations, the words that have come down to us, change us. We won't have miracles. That is the job of our Avodas Hashem, and it's not easy. It's a mature Madrega, and this is our challenge. And hopefully, if we succeed in this, we will witness with our own eyes the era, like Purim, where it will just be self-evident, self-evident without one word spoken, that there's only one way. And we won't have to argue anymore, we won't have to prove it anymore, we won't have to speak anymore. We should all be zocha to live in that era. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Yes.